Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12, Text 12. Tvam evam sila sampanam, Ramanyam dinavatsalam, Goptalam dharmasetunam, Yenipitalam praja, Tvam evam sila sampanam, Vatsalam, Goptalam, Goptalam, Dharmasetunam,
Goptalam, Dharmasetunam,
Nire Pitalam Praja,
Nire
Pitalam Praja, Tvam Sila Sampanam,
Tvam Evam Sila Sampanam,
Ramanam Dinavatsalam,
Ramanam Dinavatsalam,
Goptalam Dharmasetunam,
Goptalam Dharmasetunam,
Vinire Pitalam Praja,
Vinire Pitalam Praja,
Tvam,
Him,
Evam,
Evam,
Thus, Sila,
Sila,
with godly qualities,
godly qualities,
Sampanam,
Sampanam,
endowed,
endowed,
Brahmanyam,
Brahmanyam,
respectful to the Brahmanas,
respectful to the Brahmanas,
Dina,
Dina,
to the poor,
poor,
Vatsalam,
Vatsalam,
kind,
kind,
Goptalam,
Goptalam,
protector,
protector,
Dharmasetunam,
Dharmasetunam,
of religious principles,
of religious principles,
Menire,
Menire,
thought,
thought,
Pitalam,
Pitalam,
father,
father,
Prajaha,
Prajaha,
the citizens.
Citizens.
Translation. Dhruva Maharaj was endowed with all good, with all godly qualities. He was very respectful to the devotees of the Supreme Lord and very kind to the poor and innocent. He protected religious principles. With all these qualifications, he was considered to be the direct father of all the citizens. Translation responsibly. Dhruva Maharaj was endowed with all godly qualities. He was very respectful to the devotees of the Supreme Lord.
He was very respectful to the devotees of the Supreme Lord.
And very kind to the poor and the innocent.
And very kind to the poor and the innocent.
He protected religious principles.
Considered to be the very father of all citizens.
Before by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. The personal qualities of Dhruva Maharaj described herein are exemplary qualities of a saintly king. Not only a king, but also the leaders of the modern democratic or impersonal government must be qualified with all these godly quality characteristics. Then the citizens of the state can be happy. It is clearly stated here that the citizens thought of Dhruva Maharaj as their father, as a child depending on the able father, is completely satisfied. So the citizens of the state, being protected by the state or the king, should remain satisfied in every respect. At the present moment, however, there is no guarantee by government of even primary necessities of life in the state, namely the protection of the lives and the properties of the citizens. One word is very significant in this connection. Brahmanyam. Brahmananyam. Dhruva Maharaj was very devoted to the Brahmanas, who engaged in the study of the Vedas, and thereby know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are always busy propagating Krishna consciousness. The state should be very respectful to society, to the society that distributes God consciousness all over the world. But unfortunately, at the present moment, there is no state or government support given to such movements. As for good qualities, it is very difficult to find anyone in state administration with any good qualities. The administrators simply sit in their administrative posts and say no to every request, as if they were paid to say no to the citizens. Another word, Dinavatsalam, is very significant from the state, and they pose themselves as very pious, but they allow the running of slaughterhouses where innocent animals are killed. If we try to compare the godly qualities of Dhruva Maharaj to the qualities of the modern statesman, we can see that there is no actual comparison. Dhruva Maharaj was present in the Satya Yuga, as will be clear from the next verses. He was the ideal king in Satya Yuga. The government administrators in the present age of Kali is bereft of all godly qualities. Considering all these points, the people today have no alternative but to take to Krishna consciousness for protection of religion, life and property. This is a really powerful purport by Srila Prabhupada. He's really giving it to the leaders of the world. You know, when do you think, actually, if anybody actually reads, hey Raj, can I have a seat, Prabhu? If you think about the leadership of today from their parents and put them in confinement, I mean, where are they at? What is wrong with the world today, the leadership of the world? It is just beyond understanding. So, let's talk a little bit about leadership today. What is true leadership? Okay? And the title of today is Leaders for All Citizens, because this is actually what's very important. The last sentence in this sloka, considering all these points, if you're thinking about leadership, the people today have no alternative. There is no other alternative but to take to Krishna consciousness, God consciousness, for the protection of religion, life and property. Spirituality is actually the only source of redemption for us in this age at the moment. So who amongst us here today, put your hand up, if you think that you have leadership qualities? Who thinks...
Only Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.
Who thinks... do you think you're a leader?
I can be. I'm put in their place.
Good. No one else? Okay. Let's see how we go. If you're a leader. Let's find out if you're a leader by going through this. And at the end, I'll ask you again if you think you're a leader. So, Dhruva Maharaj was a great Vaishnava, a great king, Raja Rishi, very powerful personality. He didn't reign for a period of 4 years, maybe 8 years, maybe 12. How long did he live? How long did he reign for?
36,000 years.
35,000 years. You'll see in the next verse. 35,000 years he reigned. And the whole world was peaceful under his reign. He didn't just rule one little country. He ruled the world. He was the emperor. So this was Dhruva Maharaj. And in our scriptures, there are many, many stories of such great powerful kings, powerful rishis. Can anybody name any other ones that were powerful rishis that looked after the citizens of the world?
Yudhisthira
Maharaj, yeah. Anybody? Parikshit Maharaj, yeah.
Pritu Maharaj.
Ambarish Maharaj, yeah.
Pritu Maharaj.
Who?
Pritu
Maharaj, yes, also. Who?
Raja Harishchandra.
Right, okay. Someone else? Yes, Mataji?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So throughout scriptures, we see that there are many, many, and basically the whole of our scriptures are describing the various leaders that we have, the kings, and their stories of how they interrelated with their citizens and how they interrelate and connect with God. So this is really interesting. Leaders in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the sacred scriptures, were the protectors, the shelter, and the as it was mentioned here, they're like the father and mother of the citizens. They felt secure. You know, when you have a little child feels satisfied when mother and father are home. I remember as a little child, sometimes mum and dad would leave me alone by myself. You know, they went out somewhere and all of a sudden you felt some unease. Oh, mum and dad aren't home. Was that a noise outside? Is there somebody rustling at the window? And you start to become a little frightened and then you're sort of waiting. And I remember, you know, there were all these bad boogeymen outside because I imagined them. And then mum and dad walked in the house and then everything was okay again. Oh, mum and dad are home. So the leader is actually one who gives protection, who gives solace to the individuals, to the citizens. So that is there in the different scriptures. You have the Ramayana, the Mahabharata, so many different, and also in other faith traditions. And in the Bible you had a great king called Solomon. Great king. You heard that story about Solomon, how wise he was. Two women came to him and they were fighting over one little child. And one woman said, "This is my child." The other one said, "This is my child." And they each had a valid case. And so Solomon said, he was a wise king and he wanted to do justice. He said, "Okay, I've got a good solution. Give me the baby here." So the baby was given to the king. And the king said, "Give me a sword." And he said, "I'll cut the baby in half and you can each have half." And the mother, who was the real mother, said, "Oh, no, no, don't do that. Give it to her." And he said, "You are the real mother." And so he gave the baby to her because of love and affection. So we have great kings and leaders in the past. But unfortunately, in today's age, that's very much lacking. So Dhruva, there's a word here Prabhupada said that was significant, was Ramanyam. This is a very significant word because Dhruva Maharaj was devoted to the Brahmanas, to those that were spreading God consciousness. He was devoted to them. And he gave protection to them. And this was even in our present day scriptures, you know, we have that prayer, Namo Brahmani Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagadhitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Maha. Krishna is pleased when the Brahmanas are looked after, when the cows are looked after. That's when we know that Krishna is pleased. So it is our duty, it's incumbent upon all of us to actually protect the citizens. So it's the duty of the state, as pointed out here in the Shastra. It is the duty of the state that should be respectful. Are you falling asleep? Shall we get a bed for you? So we have to be respectful. The state should be respectful for those organizations that are distributing God consciousness. And at the moment that's very rare to find, where they're actually supporting. It doesn't happen often. But we're in a very fortunate position here in Melbourne. In Melbourne we actually have some politicians, leaders, that are favourable towards Krishna consciousness, that actually like Krishna consciousness. It wasn't that long ago that we had the leader of the opposition come here, Matthew Guy, and he's a very close friend of both myself and Aniruddha. He likes the devotees. We've preached to him. I've been on several occasions where we've had an interchange. There was some festival or some event that we were both attending. And he asked questions about the soul, about who am I. And he particularly loves Harinam Sankirtan. He said, "Sometimes I see people chanting in the streets of Melbourne." And he said, "I feel like hopping out of my chauffeur car and joining you." And he said, "If that tall man would come out on Sankirtan," he said, "I would also come out," pointing to me. "So I should come out more often, and we should go around Parliament House perhaps, and maybe he will join us." Similarly, you have people like Daniel Andrews, who's the Premier at the moment. Again, he's a very favourable personality. Every time he sees me, he offers his pranams, proper pranams, "Bhakta Prabhu, how are you?" and shakes my hand. He's respectful. So in a sense, we're very, very fortunate here in Melbourne that we have the politicians that are supporting us. There's guarantees now from the politicians that perhaps we will receive another $500,000 to finish off our temple structure. Maybe not this year, but next year. They've given us some sort of a guarantee. So we're working on it. But they're helping in different ways. They're helping our Muslim brothers and sisters in building mosques. They're helping the other Hindu traditions building temples. The Durga temple in Rockbank just got $500,000. Shiva Vishnu temple in Karen Downs just got $200,000. So this is the way we're moving. It's really interesting, quite interesting. We had a situation recently where we, you know, everybody knows that I'm part of the Faith Community Council of Victoria, where we work with interfaith. We're dealing with people of all different faith traditions, making it possible for them to live comfortably and in harmonious spirit amongst one another. So some years ago, when this government came into power, they reduced the funding to interfaith. And we were really perplexed. And some of the members of that organization approached the Minister for Multiculturalism. And they said to him, why is it that you've reduced the funding for this valuable program of interfaith, of working together with different faiths? And he said, well, you know, really, you have to understand, I'm an atheist. Mm-hmm. And he said, I don't really see that... the majority of people in our society are also atheists. So I can't really see why the government should fund an interfaith or a faith-based program to that extent. And we said, okay, that's understandable, and so we backed off. So anyway, just recently we had a meeting again with the same Minister of Multiculturalism. I won't name names, but you can look it up. And we asked him again for funding. We needed funding because we have so many things that need to be done within our community to bring harmonious spirit between the different faith traditions. You know, there's so many different programs. We celebrate Ramadan with our Muslim brothers and sisters. And we celebrate Diwali. And we celebrate different festivals for the Jewish tradition. And so on and so forth. And it brings us together in a unified force in worshipping God. So anyway, this time we again approached the Minister for Multiculturalism and said, my dear sir, we really need some funding. And he said, all right, we can do something. And he was so obliging. He said, yes, no worries, we can work something out. And we're going, what is going on here? And we're thinking, okay, is this the same person or what is it? So anyway, I went outside later on because he was so, yes, we'll make some arrangements, we'll work it out that you can get some funding. So anyway, afterwards, we came outside and I was speaking to the Archbishop who was there as well. And I said to the Archbishop, I said, Philip, what is with this guy? I thought he was negative, he was atheist. And he said, ah, yes, two things happened in his life over that period of time which changed his consciousness. Number one, his father died, a very long protracted death. So he started to think about death, right? And the finality of life and what life is really worth and about. And then he said he had the birth of his first child. His son was born. Birth, death, disease, old age. He started to think about it. And his atheistic principles started to wane a little bit. He was starting to think about what life is actually about. And there was a spark of glimmer of spirituality. So he was we were very pleased. Not pleased in that his father had passed away, but that he had a change of heart. So that's very good. So the quality of a leader, principally, is to guide society through the eyes of Shastra, through the scriptures. Shastra Chakshush, to actually see with the eyes of Shastra. So everything is based on the scriptures. Everything is based on the teachings of God consciousness. This is what's required. And there's that verse in Bhagavad Gita, in which clearly delineates that in chapter 3, text 2. Yad yad aj. Aj. Charati shrestas. Right? And this is where Krishna says, whatever action is performed by a great man or woman, common people will follow in their footsteps. And whatever standards they set by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So this is the key to leadership. Exemplary acts, Krishna's advising. Now I thought this was such an important purport that Prabhupada wrote there. Again, Prabhupada is just so amazing. His purports are so insightful. This is the purport that Prabhupada gives. People in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. A leader cannot teach the public to stop smoking if he himself smokes. Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly even before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called an acharya, or an ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of Shastra, scripture, to reach the common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures, like the Manu Samhita and similar others, are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, leaders' teaching should be based on the principles of standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of the great devotees, and that is the way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. The king or the executive head of state, the father, the mother, the school teacher, are all considered to be natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with the standard books of moral and spiritual code. Everything should be based on spiritual foundation. You know, and this is the thing that we see disintegrating within our society. You mention to somebody that you're a religious person, they laugh at you. And, you know, it's just, I had a conversation recently. There's going to be a conference with different religious leaders, especially Catholic leaders. There's a pontifical committee coming to Melbourne. And these are the select people that are close to the Pope in the Catholic Church to analyse interfaith here in Australia. Because they see that actually here in Australia there is dynamic things happening on the interfaith front. So the Pope has sent his emissaries, you know, like monsignors and bishops and everything, to come here and analyse what the hell is going on, how these people are working together so harmoniously in interfaith. And they'll be coming here to the temple and to the other different places of religion. And he said, because this is so interesting, because there is a lack of spirituality within our society, moral principles are just declining. And he made a point, this person that I was talking to made this point, that actually the whole issue of euthanasia, we adopted a stance against euthanasia, the unnecessary killing of a person. It was just not acceptable according to scripture. That not only our scripture, but the scriptures of all the faith traditions. And we protested. And I said, what to speak of abortion? No one talks about that anymore. No one talks about the millions of lives that are killed every day all over the world because of abortion. And he said, this is because the principles of religion have been completely forgotten. So as Prabhupada is saying in this verse, the only alternative for society at the moment is the Krishna consciousness movement in coordination with our other faith traditions. So this is what's going on. So what is needed is proper training. Proper training. And that proper training is through the Varnashram system, which is again enunciated within our tradition. But again, you'll see that in all the different faith traditions, there is that breakdown, that there is the priestly class, that there is the administrators, the kshatriyas, that rule, that guide, that direct, that protect. They're the vaishyas who make the business. And there are the sudras that provide the service and the labour for everything to go on nicely. Actually, it's interesting because the Bhagavatam and the scriptures and the Mahabharata and the Ramayana, they don't focus so much on the actual Brahminical class, if you notice. The Brahminical class is hardly ever mentioned about Brahmins. But all of them are all about the kings, the Kshatriyas, and how they protect and guide under the direction of the Brahmanas, and guide and direct society in that way. So the Varnashram system is very, very important, but it is directed to actually guide the humanity into their chosen occupation, and their chosen occupation should be that of service to the Lord. So if you are a Brahmin, then yes, you are doing service to the Lord in that capacity. If you are a Kshatriya, an administrator, your duty is to guide and protect people with those proper rules and guidelines from the scriptures. If you are a Vaishya, you should run your business so that everyone is looked after economically, but then also the economics will support the spirituality of the community. And the Sudra class is rendering service to those other three to just make sure there's harmonious continuation of society. So this is absolutely there. There was a really interesting quote. As you know, some of you may know, I'm an artist, I'm a painter. And I have my heroes also in the painting world, as I have in the spiritual side. So one of my heroes in the artistic world is Pablo Picasso. Some people think he was a communist, but he actually was quite God-conscious in his own way. And one thing that he said was, the meaning of life is to find your gift. And the purpose of life is to give it away. The meaning of life is to find your gift. And the purpose of life is to give it away. So that applies to Krishna consciousness. We have to find where we fit in the Varnashram system. Am I a Kshatriya? Am I a Brahman? Am I a Vaishya? Am I a Sudra? But either way, it doesn't really matter. None of us are actually categorized completely in one little box. I am a Kshatriya. I am a Brahman. We're a mixture. And the thing is, above everything else, we are devotees of God. We are disciples of our spiritual master, and we are disciples and servants of God. And in that mood, we do our service as a Brahmana, as a servant of God. We do our service as a Kshatriya, like Dhruva Maharaj, as a servant of God. We do our service as a Vaishya, doing our business, going to the office, procuring money, as a service to God. And as a Sudra, you know, like basically being an artist or an entertainer is a Sudra. But that's not a lesser thing. If your artistic creations and your artistic abilities are channeled towards God consciousness, you're a great person. Great person. So this is required of us. And training is important. So the training is important. We know we have to find out what the standards are, the spiritual standards. We have to learn them. We have to, right from an early age, we have to learn what the standards of spiritual life are. We have to read, we have to study, we have to follow our sadhana, we have to chant the holy name of the Lord, we have to meditate on the holy name of the Lord, we have to pray to the Supreme Lord, to guide and direct us. This is very important, and it's especially important, the chanting. The chanting is the utmost important in that we have to clearly connect with God on a daily basis. We have to clearly emphasize to God that we are still willing to serve Him. When we emphasize to God, when we chant, my dear Lord, I want to engage in your service. My dear Lord, I want to love you. You know, then actually what happens is it validates us. It develops our mind. Because everything is a question of developing our behavior. And that chanting of the Holy Name affirms our belief and our structure and our formation of our belief structure. This is really there for us. So the chanting is very, very important. So in actual fact, when you boil it down, we're all leaders in one sense. Nobody put their hand up. But in actual fact, each and every one of us, even our younger members here, they are in their own way leaders of society. Because it's not one that your leadership, that you get a particular title. Oh, he's the President of the United States, he's the Prime Minister of Australia, and he's the head police or anything like that, and that designates you as a leader. No, it's not a title that makes you a leader, it's your behavior that makes you a leader. It's how you act that makes you a leader. So, and a classic example of that is Srila Prabhupada. You know, he is our example of what a leader should be. If we're actually thinking, what should a leader do and how should a leader act, we simply have to read the Lilamrita or any of the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada to see what a leader does. He's the model example. He's the model example, a true leader. He earned the respect of his God brothers, and he was given a title. But it wasn't a mundane title. He was given the title of Bhaktivedanta, because he was following so closely his Guru Maharaj and learned the scripture so well and could preach so well, so he was given that title. So Prabhupada was a visionary. One of the qualifications of a true leader is that they have a vision. They see something for the benefit of everyone. It's not that he sees a vision for himself. He doesn't see himself, oh, I'm going to get 50 Rolls Royces and roll around the world with 50 Rolls Royces or my Learjet or whatever. No. He had the vision for the benefit of all mankind. There's that classic example of Prabhupada showing his vision where he was sitting on the park bench. You know, you've read that Lilamrita where he's sitting on the park bench and the elderly gentlemen were sitting next to him. And he said to the elderly gentleman, there are so many temples, but they have not manifested yet. This was right in the early stages of his devotional life in America and his preaching life in America. So Prabhupada had vision, like even the Juhu temple. You know, there was so much struggle to get this temple, and it looked like it could fall to pieces at any moment, that the whole thing would fall flat. But Prabhupada had the vision. He could see a beautiful temple already being built. And look at it now. If you go to Mumbai, it is the crest jewel in all the temples in India, isn't it? It's just, and there's so many personalities coming there, so many prominent leaders, so leaders in different fields. Recently we entertained a very nice young man who is a potential Bollywood star. He's been in several movies and stuff. And he came to our place and he was praising the devotees, you know, and he was brought to Krishna consciousness through the Mumbai temple. Just a wonderful personality. And we've had movie stars coming here and different politicians. You know, even the Prime Minister of India was so respectful to the devotees, Narendra Modi, and when I met him, he was an amazing personality. So, you know, there are ways. Prabhupada had a vision. So likewise, like Prabhupada, we should have a vision also. What can we do to push on the movement in this greater Victoria, in this greater Melbourne area? You know, we have to push it on. We have to have vision. We have to have reality as well, a reality check. We can't do things just off the bat, but we have to do things in a structured way that we can get things happening. Prabhupada had the ability to adjust to time, place and circumstance. Time management. This is another theme of a true leader. Prabhupada had that. He faced challenges head on. Head on. You know, there were so many different challenges. He had setbacks. Just in Yansi, where he set up the first temple structure in India. And it didn't work. And so he regrouped and started again. So Prabhupada had that determination. He had the ability to adjust. You know, when he first came to America, he asked the boys and girls of America, please, you chant 64 rounds. And has anybody read the book Chasing the Rhinos with Swami by Shama Sundara? That, isn't it a fantastic book? How out of it were the devotees, the initial devotees that came to Krishna consciousness? They were wonderful devotees, but in the same token, my goodness me, they were, you know, taking all sorts of drugs and they were so spaced out. So here you had Prabhupada coming from the spiritual world, from Vrindavan, and asking these people that are showing a little interest in Krishna consciousness, please chant 64 rounds. And these guys are going, oh man, how can I do that, man? And so Prabhupada said, okay, 32. Oh no, man, that's too much, man. Can't chant 32, man. So, okay, we'll make it 16 rounds for the Westerners. And this is Prabhupada's direction. So he was able to adjust time, place and circumstance in so many different ways. Similarly, in India, no lady was given Brahman initiation. Even in India, there wasn't any thought of a lady being able to do, you know, devotional service to the extent of a man. And Prabhupada completely changed that. Boys and girls are the same, you know. And he gave... The ladies were able to stay in the temple as brahmacharinis. Brahmacharinis are never heard of in India before. The Prabhupada made the adjustment, time, place and circumstance. So this is Prabhupada. So in a sense, oh, what to speak of seeing with the mind's eye of going forward, moving forward. Prabhupada said, you know, our Krishna consciousness movement is a movement. When we have the word movement, that means there's action. We're not stagnant. We don't stay in one place. The whole idea behind Krishna consciousness was that we move. Where we go next? Prabhupada pushed those early devotees. When are we getting the next temple? What's happening? Go, you know. And somebody would say, oh, I think I'd like to set up a temple. So, oh yeah, you go. Go and set that up. Move, 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 movement. ISKCON is a movement. There's one wonderful quote from our dear, very dear friend and Shiksha Guru, Bhaktitirtha Maharaj. Everybody knows Bhaktitirtha Maharaj? Has anybody read any of Bhaktitirtha Maharaj's books? Bhaktitirtha Maharaj is no longer with us. He's back with Krishna. But he was an exceptional personality. Leadership, he used to teach leadership in all these different seminars, like Radhanath Swami is doing now also. But he used to teach at different institutions and businesses and so on. And he wrote many books on leadership. If anybody ever gets a chance to read any of them, they're wonderful books by Bhaktitirtha Maharaj. One of the things I'd like to quote, he says from his book, this one is called Leadership for an Age of Higher Consciousness. So he says there, and I quote, visionary leaders have great qualities, which they develop through their interest in values, intuition, and partnership with others. We link up with others. They can bring spiritual culture to our religious and political lives. Mahatma Gandhi once said, I must first be the change I want to see in the world. I must first be the change I want to see in the world. So again, this is a question of behavior. If you want the world to be a better place, then we ourselves have to be better. So a visionary leader knows he must lead by example, and that is his leadership, and that his leadership will have powerful impact on both present and future generations. What we establish now will influence many, many generations. Srila Prabhupada said that this Hare Krishna movement will be the law book and the foundation for spirituality for the next 10,000 years. Actually, Srila Prabhupada's divine grace will be the greatest personality this world has ever known. You know, how long has it been that Prabhupada has left this planet? Maybe 50-something years? 51 years. I mean, Jesus Christ was not even heard of until about 100 years after his passing. Jesus Christ was practically insignificant in the spirituality of humanity even after 100 years. And then some of his disciples, or grand disciples, started to write about the qualities of this great soul. Jesus Christ was the Son of God and a pure bhakti yogi. And so it was only after 100 years that they started to realize, and that is when the cult of Christ, the cult of Christianity, or let's say the cult of following Lord Jesus, started. And it's now 2,000 years, more than 2,000 years from his birth, and Christianity is now waning. And his teachings are waning. They've always been sort of changed. Whereas with Srila Prabhupada, even after 50 years of his passing, we have temples that honour him all over the world. And it's only a matter of time when people start to realise this point, that Krishna consciousness is the only alternative for their protection, for their religion, for their life, and for their property. It's only a matter of time that that happens. So Srila Prabhupada is the ideal leader. So our motto should be, and it should be of each and every one of us, that we have to lead like Prabhupada. If that's our mantra, we should lead like Prabhupada. This is emphasized. We have difficulties because we're still affected by false ego and pride to be exactly like Prabhupada. There are different things that we can't do, but we try to develop humility. When we develop humility, then pride and ego goes down. And thereby develop the qualities of a servant leader. A servant leader. Prabhupada was a servant leader. He did everything as a question of service. You know, he would constantly be preaching and reaching out to people. I don't know if any of you have ever listened to Prabhupada's lectures. Anybody on a regular basis listen to Prabhupada's lectures? A couple. When you hear for 12 years, Srila Prabhupada gave lectures, 12 years. And I was listening to a class the other day where Prabhupada was actually straining his voice in the early days in New York, straining his voice to try and get the message across to people, this divine message of Krishna consciousness. He was straining his voice. He did that for 12 years while he was on this planet. He was constantly enthusing and giving this instruction. This is Prabhupada. So from the purport, this again was pointed out that this was important. Another word, dinavatsalam. The word dinavatsalam was mentioned. And it's very significant also. And in the purport it says, the state head should be very kind to the innocent. Unfortunately, in this age, the state agents and presidents draw good salaries from the state, and they pose themselves very pious and allow the running of slaughterhouses. It's interesting to note that the politicians in Australia just got a pay rise. Where innocent animals are killed. If we try to compare the godly qualities of Dhruva Maharaj to the qualities of modern statesmen, we can see there is actually no comparison. This is in the purport today. So the world leaders of today are self-serving. They're interested only in themselves. And they don't want anyone to disturb their position either. If someone comes to try and usurp their position, they're very resistant. And you hear this in the newspapers all the time. Someone is trying to get rid of, Bill Shorten, and someone's trying to get rid of our Prime Minister and Turnbull, and this one is backstabbing that one, and so it just goes on. So they're self-serving. And what they're doing is they're putting themselves in the centre. What Dhruva Maharaj and the great saintly kings, the Raja Rishis, did was they didn't put themselves in the centre, they put Krishna in the centre. They put God in the centre and then ruled under that management. So they were saintly kings. But it's a poor system in the world today. No one can deny that. And hence, there is distress, there's suffering, because there's no strong leadership. There's no strong leadership in the government, there's no strong leadership in various religious traditions, and there's no strong leadership in the family. There's no leadership in the family. So many divorces happen. Over 50% divorce rate is now there. So the children haven't got anyone to compare to look up to. There is a neglect in all different aspects of life. And there's also a loss or a weakness in our minds even. There's no leadership in our own minds. We find it so difficult to control, or the general populace find it so difficult to actually control their minds. They're just completely at the direction and the will of their senses. And they just go out and do whatever they want. So Dhruva Maharaj, in his rule, he protected and followed the scriptures. He followed Dharma, as is mentioned in the purport, and presented the truth and principles. And we can learn from the Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna, in the first part of the Bhagavad Gita, says to Krishna, if we lose our spiritual principles, that means it's the end of the world. So these spiritual principles are of the greatest importance there, in that, you know, we have to live by spiritual principles. So it's interesting, on another note, I mean, I have to keep a check on what's happening in the world, and even in religious circles, there is, just recently there was an archbishop in South Australia that was sent to prison because of not following proper principles. He turned a blind eye to child abuse in his congregation and covered up a priest who was a pedophile, and consequently that person was able to do horrible things for a number of years. And now this finally has come to light, that this person is now going to be sent to prison. And this was one of our spiritual leaders. So Srila Prabhupada again emphasizes that people today have no alternative but to take the Krishna consciousness for the protection of religion, life and property. Krishna consciousness is today's only hope, and each of us has to lead like Prabhupada. Each of us actually are the hope of the people of today, and we have to see that and actually realize that. So another quality of leadership that Prabhupada displayed was, and that we can emulate and follow in his tradition, he enlisted the help of others. He wasn't averse to just doing things on his own. He was a servant leader and he learned from others. Even Srila Prabhupada learned from others. Oh, this can't be done in this way, let's do it that way. And he built trust within the devotees. And he allowed others to do good work. He praised other devotees. He strengthened everybody's capacity. He pushed them, but he, in the same token, he encouraged and developed, like, again, if you read this book, I'm just so infatuated with this book at the moment, Chasing the Rhinos with Shyamasundara. When you read that book, Prabhupada pushed Shyamasundara so much to get the different temples, to build the Rathgayatra carts, to build the London Temple. He pushed and pushed and pushed, but he encouraged at the same time. He said, you know, what you're doing is fantastic. He really liked it, and he was saying, Prabhupada was saying, Shyamasundara was saying, shall I scale it down, Srila Prabhupada? He said, no, 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 go, make it really look nice. So Prabhupada was very encouraging like that. Srila Prabhupada also recognized the contributions that people gave to Krishna consciousness, and he showed appreciation. This is another quality of a leader, that they show appreciation and compliment the devotees on their service. Even a lowly devotee, there was that instance where Prabhupada was sitting in his room with the GBC men, and they were all up there, they've done great service, book distribution and so on and so forth, and Prabhupada said nothing about that, and he was looking out the window, and there was one young brahmacharini, young girl, doing some service for Prabhupada. I can't remember what she was doing, and Prabhupada was just in awe and praise of this young girl. Look what she's doing. She's doing this for me. You know, she's doing this for Krishna. How wonderful this girl is. And he had the big GBC thing. Mm-hmm. And Prabhupada made a point of actually showing. So Prabhupada was an example again of a true leader, a servant leader. And we're conditioned souls. Sometimes it's said that you shouldn't compliment a devotee on doing their service. You know, that the service is done for Krishna and that, you know, that should be enough. But unfortunately, we're conditioned souls. If we don't get a little pat on the back every now and again for the service that we do, we start to feel inadequate and we start to feel unenthused. So it's not a harmful thing. We're conditioned souls. We're not pure devotees yet. We will be, but we're not yet. So as a leader, it's good in all of our capacities. As a leader, we should compliment each other. You're doing a good job, Prabhu. You know, even a mother to her children. You're sitting so nicely in class. Thank you so much. Be appreciative. And that will spur the people on and encourage them even more to do more. So Srila Prabhupada never forced his views on anyone. He was never dictatorial. You do this. Would you like to do this? So these are all good qualities of a leader. He was never ever demanding. He was encouraging and he was strong. But if you had a different view, oh, tell me. Prabhupada would ask if you listened to the different videos. Prabhupada was always accommodating like that. So like Prabhupada, our consciousness should be like that of a concerned father or mother to everyone that we meet. And this is the role of a preacher. When we're actually out in the world and we're doing our work and we're doing our service and we're somehow or another, we have to keep this consciousness in our mind that we are actually leaders. We are like Prabhupada. We are trying to be leaders like Prabhupada. And when we have that, then we have to see, okay, this person that I'm in contact with, I somehow or other have to have the mood of a father or a mother for this person. That's what you need. You need that compassion. You need that empathy for the person. And you want to give them the right thing. When they feel that a person is actually, he or she really means what they're saying and has really my best interest at heart, then they listen to you and they respect you. And then, and if they see that your own personal behavior is exactly as you're teaching, then they'll also want to take that up. Because people are lacking in this today's society. And what they're lacking is this spiritual connection. And we in the Krishna Consciousness Movement have that ability. Whether it's kids at the school, in your playground that you can talk to, or men and women in our work, or women's groups, or kindergarten, we should all look out for people that we can father and mother Krishna consciously to look after. So we all have to be servant leaders. servant leaders. And Prabhupada's vision, as again is pointed out in this purport, he wanted everyone to be happy. He wanted everyone to be happy, even materially happy. He's happy when people are comfortable in their homes and they're getting good prasadam and they've got a comfortable life, got a comfortable wife, got a comfortable husband, got a nice car. Prabhupada was pleased with that. He wasn't so austere that, oh no, we've got to live like, you know, recluses. No, Prabhupada was very accommodating. He wanted to, and he was upset when he saw suffering in the world. Sometimes you have people, like recently, we heard this incident on the news. Anybody heard about that? That group of boys that were trapped in the cave, yeah. Right? Yeah. What was the first thing that you felt? You felt sorry for them, don't you? As a devotee, you feel sorry. Why is this happening to these poor people? Now you can say, from a very cold and calculated point of view, oh, that's that group's karma. You know? Oh, they're suffering because of their karma. They deserve it. But that's malice. That's insensitive. A Krishna conscious person also feels for their suffering and were overjoyed when they were released, when they got out. Everybody was happy. So Prabhupada had that same mood. He's a servant leader. He wanted them, he wants everyone to be happy, even materially. He doesn't like to see anybody suffering. Then there's the other example in this verse where the state has so many different points. And Prabhupada was making that point here about the slaughter of cows. Srila Prabhupada actually attributed the deaths in the Vietnam War. Remember, at the time when Prabhupada was in America, America was at war with Vietnam. And so many soldiers, American soldiers, got killed there. And he attributed that slaughter because of the slaughter of the cows within America as well. So he linked the two. And we can understand that. But there are so many leaders within our community now that even on this level of cow protection, the slaughter, the thing that Prabhupada wanted most was protection of the cow. And so now we see that this is happening here in Melbourne even. You know, it's happening at New Govardhan. We've got the Goshala. They're building the Goshala there. As an example, by our behaviour, people will see this is the right lifestyle. Even here in Melbourne, in Hare Krishna Valley, they're building the Goshala and the cows are looked after so wonderfully. We've got two wonderful devotees and their colleagues are setting up Mother Cow Dairy. The first time in Australia where we can actually get milk from contented cows that are never going to be slaughtered. About bulls and cows. Two young people that have set themselves up as leaders in this field. And it's being accepted by the public. It's being accepted by the devotees. We should support them. We should support the temple. The farming communities to have this Goshala. And you know, the thing is, within the broader community, especially the Hindu community, they appreciate it so much. You know, we've been asked by the different temples, all the different, you know, there's so many different temples popping up in Melbourne at the moment because of the growth of the Hindu population. They have asked us to come to give a lecture on cow protection. They have asked us, is it possible for our young children to come and pat the cows and be with Mother Cow? They are enthusiastic about finally being able to get ahimsa milk. And how do they see that? They see us as leaders, guiding them. No other temple is doing it. But yet it's so fundamentally important in all the different Hindu traditions. Mother Cow should be protected. And this is what's happening. By the diligence and the determination of just a couple of devotees that have taken on this leadership role. It is absolutely amazing. It's wonderful. So we should support them. If, say, for example, you see someone coming here, you know how it's usually the tradition that when people come to take darshan of the deities, they bring a bottle of milk. Why should they bring this milk that is from a dairy where they're slaughtering the cows? If you see it, any one of us should actually just go up to that person and say, my dear friend, Krishna would really love it if you could buy the milk from upstairs here, which is ahimsa milk that we can actually, it's wonderful that you're giving this and we can utilize it, but in the same token, if you could possibly buy this ahimsa milk, Krishna will love you even more. Yes, you have to spend an extra $2, but my dear friend, this will actually elevate you so much more in your Krishna consciousness and in your life, your material and spiritual life. So that is the role of a leader. And each and every one of us can do that. And how many times do we see somebody bringing the milk? And you say, yes, it's nice this time, but next time, could you perhaps buy the milk from upstairs? It helps the temple and it helps them. So this is the role of leadership. In all these different ways is leadership. I want to finish up with a really lovely story. It's not about a Hare Krishna devotee, but it's about a devotee nonetheless. And he was a very nice devotee. An 18-year-old boy. Some of you may have remembered that I gave this talk some time ago about how I go to the prisons and I counsel and give spiritual guidance to prisoners, Hindu prisoners. And some of you may have heard about the story about the two boys that accompanied a priest from KL, from Kuala Lumpur, to come here, and somehow or another, to cut a long story short, this priest was hoodwinked into bringing drugs into Australia. 45 kilos of heroin or something, ice or something, was brought in, the paraphernalia that this priest thought was paraphernalia for worship. But somebody else had packed it for him and loaded it with drugs, right? So there's these two boys, especially one, Kartik. I can mention his name because he's now free. Kartik was a wonderful young man, 18 years old, and all he wanted to do with his life was serve God. So he used to attend the temple every day in Kuala Lumpur. And then the priest asked him, Kartik, I would like you to come with me to Australia so we can deliver this paraphernalia so they can worship Krishna and worship God in Melbourne, Australia. Kartik and the other boy thought this was wonderful. They were rendering some service to the Lord. So he went. They arrived in Melbourne and pretty well immediately they were arrested. The customs agents found the drugs in the paraphernalia and both boys and the priest were arrested and put into jail. I visited Kartik. He explained to me he was a young, sincere, Krishna conscious, well, God conscious person. And I encouraged him in his spiritual life. And I said to him, Kartik, you know why this is happening. I know that you're a good boy and you're trying to make service to God, but this has happened something in your past. And he said, yes, Bhakta, I know that that's the case. I said, so for the best that you can do, please just remain with your spiritual practice and see what happens. And he said, but I'm innocent, I didn't do anything. I said, I understand that, Kartik, and eventually things will work out. So anyway, I had a phone call 2 weeks ago, and he was enthusiastically over the phone. He said, the jury found me not guilty. So what happened was, he was the longest serving person in the remand centre, 2 years, 8 months, he was in prison. As an 18-year-old boy, and he was just not a normal 18-year-old boy, he was a very sensitive young boy. He was very attached to his mother, but he was also very attached to God, and he thought this was a great adventure for him to actually come to Australia on a mission to serve God to the community here. And then this happened. So he would cry himself to sleep at night time, and he would cry out for mother, but he's in this prison. Now, none of you have ever been to prison. It is not a pleasant place. Not even for me that I go and visit. It's not a pleasant place. So this boy, in his behavior, over that 2-year, 8 months period, he behaved in such a God-conscious way. He was strict vegetarian. Although even in the prisons, it's very difficult to get a good vegetarian meal. So he would cook his own rice and stuff, and you know, but he remained vegetarian. He remained, I got him Bhagavad Gita's and different books, and he would read the scriptures. And by his own behavior and his own sensitivity, he became influential to the other prisoners, and they treated him like he was just the most wonderful personality. In prison, over that eight months period, he had his 21st birthday party. Now this poor boy was so dejected. You know, he tried to stay on top of it, but he was so dejected. This was his birthday He wanted to be with his parents. He wanted to be with his friends. This was his coming into adulthood. And he was stayed in his cell. So what had happened was, because of his behavior, because he had such an influence on the whole community, all the wardens got together and got all the prisoners together. They never do this. They never do this usually. Because of security, they opened up all the doors. They had a table set up. They got a cake made, a vegetarian cake made for him, right? And all the prisoners and all the guards together were around the table, right? No security.
Amazing.
And then one guy went to get Kartik, and Kartik was in his room. And I said, "Kartik, we want to come. I want you to come out for a little while. Oh, why should I? It's my 21st birthday, and like this." He said, "No, come out, just come out." So then he came out and he saw that all the people from the ward, from the prison, were there to celebrate his birthday, to make him feel comfortable, because of his spirituality.
Was he chanting also?
He was chanting. Yeah, he wanted mala. I gave him japa mala. And so he was chanting. And it was really interesting, you know, because you can't get very many things in hospital. So you can't have candles, right? So they couldn't have any candles. And you can't have anything like balloons. So what they did was, they still wanted to have a party atmosphere, so they got flowers, because he used to grow the flowers out the back. He looked after the garden. So they got flowers from his garden and decorated the cake with that. And they said, "We need balloons." So one criminal said, "Oh, I know what we can do. We've got condoms. We'll blow up condoms." So they blew up condoms and hung them all over the place. This was his party. Anyway, I got the phone call the other day. Kartik said, I want you to come and see me. I'm free. And then he related to me how they presented this to the court, you know, of his situation. All the judge was crying, the jury was crying, you know, that this young boy who was such a saintly person could possibly have been put in prison for 2 years and 8 months, and an innocent person. The judge said, "There is no evidence. You should never have arrested this person." Case dismissed. And it was thrown out of court. And the judge was crying. And he said to... And then the security people were going to take him away and put him back into prison. And he said, "What are you doing? Let him go. Take him out of the dock. Take him out of the dock immediately. Take the handcuffs off." And he said, "He is a free man. He can go." And they said, "Yeah, but Your Honor, he hasn't got a visa or anything." He said, "I don't care." He said, "Get a policeman to accompany him and he can go anywhere he likes in Melbourne. Let him walk through the streets of Melbourne as a free man." And so on Wednesday he went back to Kuala Lumpur. So I met with him and I said, "Oh, Kartik, I'm so happy for you. You know, I'm really glad." He said, "Yeah, Krishna's made the arrangements and I've learned so much from this." And he said, "I definitely want to come back." And I said, "So what are you going to do when you get back to Kuala Lumpur?" He said, "I'll go back to the temple." I said, "To the same temple?" He said, "Maybe not the same temple. Where is the Hare Krishna temple?" So he's now a free man. He's the most wonderful, loving, spiritual person. You know, he's not a Hare Krishna devotee as yet, but he has that mood. You know, and he's a leader. By his example, he's a leader. And so each and every one of us have to develop that, you know. We have to develop that humility, and we have to develop that strength, and we have to develop our self-assurance that we are also, in our own capacity, we are leaders. We are leaders like Prabhupada. Have that in our mind. We are leaders like Prabhupada. See the qualities of Prabhupada and try and emulate that in our own lives. There's one final thing that I want to finish up with. This is a quotation. "Devotees with humility think less of themselves. They just think themselves less." Right? Devotees with humility think less of themselves. They just think themselves less. It's a really great quote. This was a Christian man who put this together, this verse. The person, we met him actually, from the guy Ken Blanchard, from One Minute Manager. So that's a devotee with humility. So this is the whole point of being humble. Don't think less of themselves. They just think themselves less. They think of themselves less. So I want to finish here. We should all be strong, humble, servant leaders. Does everybody think they can be a leader? Those who think they can be a leader, please put your hand up. Hey, that's a bit better than the start of the program. Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki!
Jai!
Go to Premanandi. Thank you very much, brothers. Any comments
or questions?
Any comments or questions quickly? Yes, can I? Yes, Prabhu.
What happened to the priest and the other boy who was with the Kartik?
The other boy also got off, and with the priest, the jury is a hung jury. So the jury couldn't make up its mind whether he's guilty or not guilty. So he has to go to trial one more time. So I'm also seeing him. So he's not yet free. The other boy went with Kartik to go home, but he was in a different prison and I never got to see him. So yeah, but he got free too. Both of them were tried at the same time. And they were both crying when they got free. Yeah.
But why did Kartik put drugs inside it?
He didn't know. He had no idea.
His drugs?
Yeah, he had no idea that the boxes, they were boxes with paraphernalia for service. You know, like an Archimand cup, bells, all that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And maybe tilak or vibhuti or something in little packets.
Yeah.
And he had no idea that in this box were the drugs. So he was just helping to carry them on the plane, right?
Yeah.
So he had no idea that this was happening. And then later when the police were following them, the customs agent were following him, they opened it up and said, here, look, there's drugs. And he said, I had no idea. So this other man, this criminal, had put those drugs in the box. Do you get it?
Didn't he get arrested?
Huh?
Didn't he get arrested?
He went to jail, yeah. Yeah, they got him. And he's in prison for a long time. But the other ones were innocent. Yes, Prabhu?
Prabhu, you mentioned that Prabhupada first asked to do 64 rounds, then 32 and 60.
Yeah.
Why is it in multiples of 62?
I don't know. Really, I guess that's Prabhupada's adjustment at the time. I don't think there's any specific reason to say it. It's just that, you know, sort of halved it again, you know? Yeah. Prabhu, did you have a question?
One important thing about Dhruva Maharaj is he emptied his treasury, almost all the treasury, for penance and austerities. He spent so much money from his treasury.
Yeah.
There was no money left at all. For austerities and...
Amazing, huh?
Yes, coming in.
Yeah, just gave it all. Yeah, that's the true leader.
Yeah.
So we should also give. And we do. Yes, Prabhu.
When will the priest will be freed out of the jail?
When what?
When will be the priest will be freed out of the jail?
He's asking when will the priest be released from the jail? As I was just explaining, he went to court, and he also had a trial. And the jury, you know how a jury is set up? Like there's men and women, about 12 I think, and they judge whether this man is guilty or not guilty. They couldn't decide whether he knew that there were drugs in the box or not. So they said, okay, no court case, we have to have another trial. So he's still in prison. Yeah, he's still in prison. So he'll come out eventually. One more question.
But because they found the person who actually put it, so why do they still think it was him?
Well, they're not sure whether he knew.
Oh.
He told me that he didn't know. Now, they're trying to find out whether he was lying. But Kartik and the other boy had no... They only want to render service for the priest and for Krishna. And so they went along with this. Does it get make sense? Okay, right.
Why did the person put drugs in the box?
He makes money. Drugs are a big means of making illegal money. It's a huge business. Hundreds and millions and millions of dollars coming into this country from drugs. Yeah. And criminals make a lot of money from it. But the leaders are not doing their best to actually stop that from happening. Because some of the leaders actually profit from that, which is really sad. No, we have to stop now for this. Next time. Srila Prabhupada ki!
Yeah.